Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi guys, this is Michael Clark. I'm sorry I haven't been on for a couple months because of things that came up, and then last month I just wasn't able to get on. So I'm happy to be back, and I wanted to talk about this being the start of summer. I wanted to talk about ways that I found to live a happy life. And if any of you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to give us a call at 424-243-9540, as always. So how have you been? What are some of the things that you want to do for the summer? What are ways that you do have found to stay happy? There's a lot of different things that can go wrong in life, and there's a lot of ways that things can go wrong, and if we dwell on the things that go wrong, then we tend to believe that everything will go wrong, and then we have this negative mindset. So one way that I've found to be happy and to live a happy life is, as I've said in previous episodes of this podcast, one of the ways that I have learned to live a happy life is to always have a happy disposition and to try to cultivate and maintain a positive attitude. Now, as I've said, it's not always easy, and it's something that we should work on all the time. But I know that as we work on it, and as we try to do our very, very best, things will work out, and things may not always go according to the way we want them to, but things will always work out. And so I wanted to touch on a few ways that we can live a happy life. And if any of you have any suggestions, please feel free to give me a call. Again, the number is 424-240-9540. So one of the first ways I have learned to be happy and to live a happy life is through humor, as I've stated before, and I wanted to touch on that briefly, and I wanted to share with you a story that I found. Now, as a side note, all of these stories that I am going to share tonight come from different compilations of Chicken Soup for the Soul. So if you want to look for positive things, and you want to look for things that help brighten your day, books are one way to do it, and Chicken Soup for the Soul is a really good resource. So I wanted to share with you how humor can be used in sometimes hard and outlandish and ridiculous situations to number one, make things better, and number two, to find ways to solve the problem. Hang on for just 1 second. In the meantime, be thinking about things that you can do to live a happy life. If you ever want to just call in, I'm more than happy to talk with you so that you can share your experiences and your ideas. So, the first story I wanted to share is called Please Take the Ticket by Jill Burns. And the beginning quote says, "Those who are quick in talking are not always quick in listening," by J.K. Chesterton. By the time we reached the airport, my mother was in the huff. "We're going to be late," she said, as we pulled into the newly renovated parking area. My husband David and I had come to pick up my oldest son, who had flown in to spend Christmas with the family. As always, Mom had insisted on driving us to the airport since my husband and I were from out of state and didn't know our way around. We picked a lane that didn't look too busy. When our turn came, Mom rolled down her window to grab the parking ticket from the machine. We watched and waited for the gate to lift so that we could drive through. We heard a voice. "Please take the ticket." "Give me a minute," Mom answered. "It's a well-known fact that I often talk to myself. So does my sister." So I didn't think anything of my mother's words. The machine sounded again. "Please take the ticket. I'm trying. I can't reach it," she said. This time, my husband and I glanced at each other with our eyebrows raised. Certainly, Mom knew the voice was automated and not a real person speaking to her. "Please take the ticket. I'm trying. I'm trying. It's too far away. Give me a minute." In fairness to my mother, automated machines had recently arrived in the world, and there weren't many around yet. We'd never run into one at the airport before. In the old days, the machine spit out a parking ticket, and if you couldn't reach the ticket, you simply opened your door and grabbed it. Now, the new metal safety derailings on either side of the car made it impossible to open the door. "Please take the ticket. I'm trying. I'm trying." The traffic behind us grew impatient. Horns honked. In the rearview mirror, I saw people trying to back up so they could find another lane. All the while, the machine continued, "Please take the ticket. Please take the ticket. Please take the ticket." Mom was frustrated, but David and I found our situation hilarious, especially since before taking off for the airport, We had argued with Mom when she insisted on squeezing the three of us into the front seat since the back seat heater was broken. Had wrenched our body parts in an effort to get our seat belts buckled, and now here we were, dressed in heavy, cumbersome coats, smashed against each other so tight that we couldn't move. Once David and I started laughing, we couldn't stop, which only hindered our efforts to find a solution. Meanwhile, the machine and my mother continued their dueling duet. It took forever to breach the bulky wall of coat and body matter that belonged to me and my mother and unbuckle my belt. All the time, and Mom, I'm trying, rang through the air. Free from my shackles, I scooted forward into my seat, searched for my mother's belt, and tried to unfasten it. The entire time I worked, she and the machine continued to fight it out. By this time, I was laughing so hard I could hardly speak. Mom, I unbuckled your belt. Try to scoot closer to the window. Please take the ticket. Please take the ticket. I'm trying. I'm trying. I need to scoot over. As I leaned forward into the dashboard, I finally had a grand view of my mother. Between her bulky coat and short arm, I held my breath as I watched her struggle to reach the ticket, all the while talking to that blasted machine. It was close, but she finally managed to get a hold of the ticket. The gate opened, and we drove through. Although Mom seemed harried, within minutes she erupted into laughter along with us and continued laughing each time we told the story to someone new during our visit. My husband and I never asked Mom if she actually thought there was a person talking to her through the machine. Some things are better left unknown. That's a funny story, but that's a way that even through hard and difficult situations, we can use humor to help to find new perspective and to find ways to solve problems. I wanted to talk about one of the ways that we can be happy is to and have a good summer is to always have a positive attitude and to find things to do and to always keep busy but to always remember what the important things are in life. Speaking from personal experience, I know that sometimes for me, with a disability and my perspective in life, things do get very hard, and sometimes it gets very lonely, and sometimes I just have to be able to find the positive spin on things, and sometimes all I can do is have hope, and I can say to myself, tomorrow will be better. All I have to do is to get through this moment, and then the next moment comes, and then I use that same thing. I said, now I have to get through this moment. And then sometimes the nighttime is really lonely, and I say, well, tomorrow will be better. And when I have that attitude and when I have that perspective, that the next day is always better. So I wanted to share with you another story called Darkness and Light. It is from the volume of Chicken Soup of the Soul called Think Positive, Live Happy, 101 Stories About Creating Your Best Life.
This story was told by Jennifer Loomis Kennedy. All right.
It goes.
So the beginning quote in this story is by John Webster, and he said, "Through darkness, diamonds spread their richest light." Here we go. My boys giggled and splashed in the crowded pool, taking refuge from the bright August sun. The latest pool games involved squirters and cannonballs. The carefree, vibrant scene was a stark contrast to the dark and crippling words echoing through my cell phone. The CT scan showed a mass on your father's pancreas, unquote, my mom said as she struggled to get out the words. My tall, strong 59-year-old father had suddenly started losing 1 or 2 pounds per day. Of all the possible causes I'd read about, this was the worst imaginable scenario. The deadliest of all cancers. The deadliest of all major cancers. The pancreatic cancer prognosis was horribly grim. Most patients don't live a year beyond diagnosis, with many taken in just 3 to 6 months. After marrying young and working hard their entire lives, my parents were looking forward to retiring, traveling, and spending time with their grandchildren. My son, Kyle and Tyler, ages, and my brother's daughters, Caitlin and Audrey, ages 9 and 6. It was a devastating diagnosis. The first oncology appointment was on my boy's first day of school. Second grade and preschool were to be exciting school years that their beloved pop wanted so desperately to see. Every year, on each grandchild's birthday, he'd make a highlight reel of the past year, and he was already hard at work planning a baseball theme. My dad and my boys shared a passion for baseball. Kyle earned a spot on the travel baseball team and would be starting in the spring. Tyler knew all the names and stats of Pop's beloved Philadelphia Phillies. My dad asked his oncologist if he would make it to Christmas. After reviewing the scans showing an inoperable tumor, the doctor pursed his lips and said with deeply apologetic eyes, "I'm sorry, Fred. Probably not." Since my mother was a teacher with limited time off, I often accompanied my dad to chemotherapy. My brother Mark met us during his lunch break. We marveled as Dad sat there, hooked up to the IVs, chatting with the nurses. As a college professor, my dad loved hearing about their educational background, and they adored his pleasant demeanor. He made it easy to forget the grave reasons we were there. After the initial infusion at the hospital, he remained on chemotherapy for 48 hours in the form of a backpack with tubes hooked up to the chest port. We'd visit him at home, armed with movies and board games so he could relax. But before long, we'd find him in the driveway with the kids, play balls, while wearing his chemo backpack. During one infusion at the hospital, he decided that instead of fearing the Christmas holiday he might not live to see, he would plan to celebrate it in the biggest way possible. 40 years prior, during Christmas week, my parents had honeymooned in Disney World. In honor of this anniversary, he wanted to take all of us there to celebrate Christmas. Traveling posed health risk to his immune-compromised body. I planned cautiously, packed secretly, and hoped, knowing that it was possible the trip wouldn't happen. We all agreed not to tell the kids until we were sure. Days before Christmas, they awoke, thinking that it was an ordinary school day. We all met at my parents' house for the ultimate Christmas surprise. Joyfully, my dad told his grandchildren that their suitcases were in the car and we were headed to the airport. A family friend and former Disney employee arranged to have our room at the Pop Century Resort decorated with anniversary greetings and instructed us to view the parade in a particular spot. We rode rides, laughed with Disney characters in the beautiful Florida sun. My dad had no hair and limited energy, but wore a Disney button that declared proudly, "I'm celebrating life." The brightly lit park sparkled as pretend snow fell, and the kids danced around us, catching snowflakes on their tongues. At last, Santa concluded the parade in a spectacular display. He rode by. He shouted for the entire crowd to hear. "I want to wish a very special Merry Christmas to the very special Loomis family," as he called each one of us by name. It was a magical memory from a most magical trip. But the magic didn't end there. My dad survived 6 months post-diagnosis to celebrate his 60th birthday and gathered friends from his childhood, college, and career. Extended family traveled from around the country to be there. We told him to arrive in costume for a baseball team fundraiser, quote-unquote, dressed head to toe in his favorite Phillies pinstripe uniform. My dad was surprised by Fred's fans wearing baseball gear for an evening of his favorite. At the end of the night, he stood up to quote baseball legend Lou Gehrig. He said that he might have been given a bad break, yet today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth, quote unquote. But we were the lucky ones because he continued to choose happiness. He attended every one of Kyle's baseball games with his chemo backpack. I thought it was going to disconnect when he jumped out of his seat to cheer as Kyle hit a walk-off single to win the district championship game. The following year, he planned a Thanksgiving feast at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge to celebrate all we had to be grateful for. The next trip was to an indoor water park for his 62nd birthday, where he and all four grandchildren boarded raft after raft, screaming while soaring down thrilling tube slides. The following year, we all shared a house in Ocean City, New Jersey, a favorite childhood destination. We start each morning with a bike ride down the boardwalk, each afternoon splashing in the waves with the kids, and each night on the boardwalk with ice cream cones and laughter. Despite 55 chemo treatments and 5 weeks of daily radiation over the course of 2.5 years, the pancreatic tumor never shrank, and it spread to his liver. He was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic pancreatic cancer, and the 5 best cancer hospitals on the East Coast all deemed his tumor inoperable. When the chemo side effects became severe, he made the difficult decision to stop treatment and choose quality of time over quantity. And he planned another trip to Disney World. I sat beside him as he rode Snow White's mine train, and he sang, "Hi-ho, hi-ho," along with all the dwarves as we soared through the tunnels with our hands in the air. We returned to ride Space Mountain at midnight, just like we had when I was a child. Most nights, he and I were the last adults standing with the kids as the park closed with spectacular fireworks. It has now been an unbelievable 5 years since my dad's diagnosis. Miraculously, he's been off treatment for the last 2.5 That journey is known by many in the cancer community as a rare story of hope in a sea of heartbreaking ones. But it's his incredibly positive attitude from the very beginning that continues to inspire everyone. This year, Tyler Frederick, named for my dad, now in second grade, started his first year of travel baseball. And Kyle, a sixth grader, began his last. My dad cheered wildly as Ty pitched his first game and Kyle made his quote-unquote major league plays. Kyle's season will culminate this summer with the ultimate baseball experience at Cooperstown Dreams Park in New York. My dad certainly plans to be there, and I no longer doubt that he will be. He and my mom have both retired and are busier than ever. The cancer remains. He still scans every 3 months, and we never know what they will show. No doctor can medically explain how he is still living. His latest big idea is for all of us to go on a Disney cruise to Alaska, a dream destination of my mom. I'm sitting by the pool reading the list of excursions and watching our kids, now 8, 10, 12, and 13, splashing in the bright sun with my dad. The pool games still involve squirters and cannonballs. I think about the devastating diagnosis that he didn't let devastate us. In his very darkest time, he has chosen to live in the light. An example of how we can use a positive attitude when we have hard times and dark experiences, and we can choose. We can choose to live in the light, and we can choose to be the light in situations that are hard or difficult. And now you may say, well, that's all well and good, doesn't always happen. Well, no, that doesn't always happen. But as I've said before, as we have a positive attitude and as we try to cultivate it and spread joy and happiness to others, and we choose to not live in fear, and we choose to try to live the best we can and to try to do what's right, the best that we know how, things will work out and we will be blessed. I wanted to tell you a couple of stories about
some personal experiences in my life. I told these before, so if you've heard them before, bear with me. But in 2019, my wife passed away, and from ALS. Told you before. I have cerebral palsy, and she had cerebral palsy, and it was really hard, but I chose to think of the positive, and I chose to be positive about it, and if it wasn't for the things that I've experienced in the past, and some of the things that I've experienced, and the earlier decisions that I've made to stay positive, even when things are hard, like I said before, I would have been in a really dark place. I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, well, I just do what I know. So as you strive to cultivate a positive attitude, and you rely on the both positive and hard experiences and the things that they've taught you, you can begin to develop that reserve, and you can, even though sometimes that life might not look exactly the way that you think. Another experience. I don't think that's cool, but this is a true story. So when I was younger, I lived in a little town called Lamoni, Iowa, and I was walking with a walker, and we lived at the very end of our block, and so every day my dad, didn't matter if it was raining or snowing or really hot or really cold, he had me walk down to the end of the block and back. And many, many days I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it at all. I'm like, this is too hard. This is not fun. I made all the excuses in the world. And he's like, you know what? The sooner you grow up, there were days it took me a long time, and there were days that I fell down, and there were days it was raining, and I fell down, and I had to cross this big gap in the sidewalk, and I fell down, and I had to find a way to get back up and continue on. But that really has helped me to find ways to get through hard times. And I've learned that when there are hard times, find ways. Sometimes the ways are creative, but I have to find ways to, carry on and make the best of the situation. And if any of you have any stories or anything that you want to contribute, please feel free to give me a call. Again, the number is 424-243-9540. All right. Another way that we can to live our best life this summer and always is we can learn how to use our time wisely. And I wanted to share with you a story that comes again from Chicken Soup for the Soul.
You one second. All right. This story is from the Chicken Soup for the Soul. The Advice That Changed My Life book. The author of the story is Patricia Ruhock. The opening quote goes like this. Never forget the value of time. You can acquire much in life by comparison. Time, use it wisely. Kim Fargo. What are you doing? My fifth grade teacher inquired as I hunched over the side of my desk. I'm packing my backpack. The bell rings in a few minutes. Unpack your assignments. You still have 5 minutes. You work until the clock runs out. The more you do here in class with me, the less you have to do at home. She countered with a small smile as she walked back to her desk. She was a very kind and sweet woman, but I knew she meant business, too. I petulantly pulled my math assignment back out and completed one problem at a time as the minutes on the clock ticked away. The bell finally rang and I stuffed my homework back in my backpack as fast as possible and headed to my next class. I cannot remember how many times a day she would reiterate, use your time wisely. It worked. It became second nature for me to work until the bell rang. In middle school, I continued the practice she instilled in me. I worked on my assignments until the bell rang. And she was right. The more I did in class, the more time off I had at home. The more time I had at home, the more time I had for projects and hobbies. I continued the practice until my senior year in high school, having an entire year's worth of college classes completed before I even threw my mortarboard into the air. I used my time wisely. I instilled that mindset in nearly every aspect of my adult life, my education, my career, and my family. At age 10, I didn't understand. I do now. Learning how to use your time wisely also means learning what's important to you and being able to prioritize your time. It's not just a lesson in using the time you have, but in enjoying the moment, treasuring the time spent with loved ones, and living life, truly living life. So that's a good example of how you can use your time wisely. I've found in recent years that is one of the keys to living a happy life, because like that story said, time is very finite and we only have a set amount in our life and we don't know when our time is going to run out. So we have to time as wisely as we can. I'm still not great at it, but I've become a lot better in using it the best that I can, and I still have work that I can do on it. And like I tell myself and I tell other people, the best thing we can do is to just do our best, and to as we try to do the best that we can, we will be rewarded
and we also need to treasure the memories that we have in life, because we don't know when the time we spend with people that we love will end. I know that to be true. What are things that you have learned? What are lessons that you have learned that help you live your best life? What are ways that you can live your best life and do your best and manage your time wisely? Do you have anything to say? Just give me a call. Again, the number that you can call in on is 424-243-9540. Right. Another way we can live our best life is by always finding ways to learn, and making learning not just a project we do in school time, but a lifelong habit and pursuit. So I wanted to discuss that a little bit, because I think it's really important. And I know that some of you have graduated from high school. I know that some of you have problems, and some of you have issues with that, and you may have problems with learning, and you may not like learning, and that's fine. But what I've found is that if you learn something new every day, you can stay busy, and you can always have wonder in your life. And if you learn something new every day, then you're always finding something to do and something to wonder about and something to be amazed by. I wanted to share with you an article I found. I really like it a lot, and it speaks to this idea of making learning a lifelong pursuit. It's an article that I found on LinkedIn. It is Why Learning Should Be a Lifelong Pursuit. It was published on July 22nd of 2021. It's by Ash K. Munjal. He's the founder and CEO of Hero by Red. He's the pro-chancellor at BML Munjal University. It starts like this. I recently came across the news of 67-year-old Usha Lodeya, who earned a PhD degree after more than 40 years after discontinuing her formal education. The Gujarat-based grandmother adapted to online learning to pursue higher studies and fulfill a lifelong dream. The delightful story was yet another
reaffirmation of my long-held belief that learning should never be limited by age or a stage in one's life. If anything, today more than ever, we need to look at learning as a lifelong pursuit. The philosophy of lifelong learning centers on the concept that humans continuously adapt to a constantly changing world. Ancient philosophers like Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato advocated the use of the mind. Lifelong learning is a mindset aimed at gaining new knowledge and developing new skills at every step of your life and career. This knowledge can enhance and enrich your life in several ways. Studies have shown that learning makes you more adaptable, agile, and open to new experiences. Learning something new has also been known to physically rewire the brain and create new neural paths, besides limiting cognitive and memory degradation with age. In today's context, learning continuously, adding new skills and gaining fresh perspectives is more important than ever. The fourth industrial revolution has changed the professional landscape by creating new jobs and demand for new skills. Job profiles are constantly evolving as old roles are being scrapped and new ones are being created. In such an environment, having the knack for learning will help you tide over the challenging times and quickly shifting lanes. It can help you excel during the good times by making you stay ahead of the competition. Upskilling and reskilling are effective ways of expanding capabilities and enhancing job prospects. It also helps build the practice of learning new things throughout your life. COVID has only further accelerated the adoption of new technologies and bringing new business models to the forefront. These require skills that didn't exist in the mainstream until a decade ago. Increasingly, employers are looking for candidates with an edge. Over someone with just a digital marketing degree. The future of work is becoming more dynamic, where one person will be required to perform the work of many. Learning should also be expanded to areas of interest because each learning experience will enrich your lives with not just knowledge but also practical skills. Small habits like reading every day can help build this gap. Habit of learning. Whether it's for personal development or professional advancement, technology has made the pursuit of knowledge easier and more accessible than ever before. The onset of online learning has created numerous opportunities for anyone who has the will to learn. With a plethora of audiobooks, YouTube videos, and even podcasts, learning has become limitless, diverse, and interesting. Why not seize the opportunity? I agree. I believe that even if you've had a hard time with school, or even if learning is hard for you, I believe that if you learn something every day, you will be better off in the long run. And you don't even have to go about it as if you're taking a test. You can say, okay, today I'm going to learn a new skill. I'm going to learn a new instrument, or I'm going to learn to draw, or anything like that. Find areas that interest you from those, and when you have those done,
then find other areas to work on and work on those. As you do that, you will find more things to do and you will find that you've developed new skills along the way, and those new skills will help make you a better person, and they will help make you a more well-rounded person. And I encourage you to learning a lifelong pursuit, finding the interest you, and to use humor as a way to solve problems and to cultivate a positive attitude and to always think positively. And as you do all these things, you will be able to have a good life, and you will be able to have to never stop, because if you always find things that are interesting to you and you always learn something new, even if it's something small, and if you always try to cultivate a positive attitude, then you will never stop learning and you will never stop being positive. Now, there are times that are, again, there are times that are hard, and there are times that you'll fall down and fall short. The trick is when that happens, to reach on your goal and to not let rejection or fear or other things beat you. You can fall down. You can fall down 99 times, but the thing that really matters is on the 100th time that you fail, you get back up and you try again. You have listened to me, and I'm grateful that you have tried to listen, and anyone who listens to this on demand, know that you're important, and you have skills and talent that can help you and others. And as you focus on those, and you focus on the things you can do instead of the things you can't do, you can make your life better, and you can be happy, and you can continue to try to create your best life. I know that it's possible. It's hard, but I know it is possible. And I want to thank you for this opportunity, for inviting me into your home and to listen to what I have to say. As always, I want to remind you that you're stronger than you think. You're smarter than you seem, and that you're stronger than you believe. Keep on living your best life, and keep on creating and maintaining that positive attitude. Remember that a positive attitude makes all the difference in your life, and your perspective makes all the difference in your life. I know this is true, because I've lived it. Again, thank you so much for spending this time with me, and know that I'm proud of you. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be with you next month. And I'll talk to you again. Thank you so much. God bless you, and good night.